Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
About copyright to some extent tonight, specifically the lawsuit against the Internet Archive that they have lost at the lower court level in federal district court. They're planning on appealing that particular case. And again, if you want to support them on it, go to battleforlibraries.com. You can sign up to follow the progress over there. Of course, you can join us here, and you can talk about this issue, or you can bring up anything that happens to be on your mind. We were also discussing the different sort of methods of being able to rent media out. And, Chris, you were explaining earlier in the show about how there's a certain carve-out in the law, to like copyright law, that says if you own a thing, so if you've purchased a book or a if you've purchased a DVD or a Blu-ray or something like that, then you can actually rent that thing out. And apparently, from the research I did, there's actually an exception to that for audio CDs or audio or whatever.
Yeah, that I didn't know about.
That I believe the audio gang, whatever you want to call them, BMI and ASCAP, those people, the licensing gang, they got that accepted somehow.
Did they, get some law passed or something?
Yeah, some special thing.
To treat them differently?
It was in, the 80s or 90s. I forget when.
Oh, I'm sure it would have been ancient.
Yeah. So you still can do that. There are still, Netflix still has their DVD rental system. I'm still a customer of that, actually, after, all these years. I don't subscribe to their online service because you actually get more of a selection when you do the physical
media. Oh, that's funny.
Media, right? Because the online thing requires licensing. And so Netflix is always, you always hear things about, you better watch this show or this movie because Netflix is going to lose it on May 1st. So you better get it done or else it's gone because the licensing subscription that they had for that expired. And for whatever reason, they couldn't negotiate, the renewal of it. Maybe because Paramount's website or whatever the other, there's the HBO Max or these other sites got it.
It's profit and
control. If you're ever in that situation and you don't get it all watched on time, keep in mind that BitTorrent never sleeps.
Indeed. What were you going to say there, Chris? That's right.
Sorry, yeah.
So they anyway, the point being that the online services, they have to license the content, and in many cases those licenses are exclusive. So they'll move around. So one service will get it for a time, and then it might move to a different service. Or maybe the company that was licensing it to Netflix decides they're going to launch their own service and no longer license the content to anyone else because they want to make the money directly for themselves. So that's why you don't see a whole lot of options. I don't remember the numbers, but we actually read a story about the DVD Netflix or the Blu-ray version of Netflix, which has so many more choices, by thousands and thousands and thousands more. The actual Netflix inventory for online streaming was something like 4,000 things. There wasn't a whole lot. I mean, all things considered, content there. So there's been other news about Netflix in recent months, and that has been that it was last year, if you may recall, there was some news that Netflix was seeing a downturn in their stock price, that there was a big, and it wasn't just Netflix, it happened to Facebook and some other tech companies, but Netflix saw a big downturn, they lost a few subscribers, 500,000 subscribers, which for them is nothing, they've got 200 million or 150 million subscribers or something, but it was a downturn for them. And so they started getting well, I don't know, greedy might be the right word, and they changed their terms of service. They changed their rules on sharing passwords. And this is a company that actually at one time, I believe it was like 2017, tweeted out that they supported people sharing passwords. You know, in the good old days, Netflix was all about it. Oh, yeah, share your password with your friends. It's no problem. Well, I don't know. They've changed their tune now. And after months of warning subscribers, this is according to TheStreamable.com, that anti-password sharing measures were coming, they are now apparently unleashing them. Netflix has estimated that over 100 million users worldwide are using the service through login credentials of someone else. And they hope that by putting an end to account sharing, it'll bring a new infusion of revenue to the company. It's essentially the only way that Netflix can make meaningful subscriber additions in North America, where the service currently sees its highest share of market penetration. And so they go into...
A lot of people are seeing a lot of penetration in America.
And so they get into some of the details about how they're going to be doing this. They say you can still share the account, but only within one household. To ensure your devices are associated with your primary location, Netflix is now asking users to connect to Wi-Fi at your primary location, open the Netflix app or website, and watch something at least once every 31 days. So they're doing IP address verification,
wow.
It sounds like.
That's disturbing.
To limit people, which could be problematic if you're on a shared IP system, like if you're in an apartment complex that gives you free Wi-Fi or something like that, right? Like, you know, if you don't have your own account somewhere, you're just going to be, sounds like you're going to be SOL. They say that you cannot share Netflix with someone who doesn't physically live with you. And further, can you use Netflix while traveling? Well, they say that it may lead to your device being blocked from Netflix if you are signing in outside of your home. This could prevent you from signing into new devices while traveling, but they have a workaround, which would be that you can request a temporary code from the service when signing in and would give you access for 7 days. So they've made it harder now to simply leave your house and watch on your laptop.
You know, back in the good old days, I could get on a plane and have my little DVD player, portable DVD player, and I could stick, or my laptop, I could stick a DVD in it, not anymore.
Not now.
Not anymore.
But you can't even get a DVD player.
What happens now?
Well, it's hard to find DVD players in laptops, right? Like, you can still get it, but you probably have to order a custom-built laptop in order to get something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, we're going to have DVD laptops with DVDs in them soon.
Again. Wow.
But, yeah.
Is there an actual demand for
that? It's not that there's a demand for it. It's that we don't want to sell laptops that are garbage. And basically, all the newer generation laptops are garbage, and we have to tweak a new laptop design in such a way that it's basically we can do like a second hard drive, or no, I think it's like it would be like a third hard drive or like a DVD, because the space is physically there in the design that we're kind of building off of. And we could do nothing with it, I guess, but the space is there. So
you might as well. They're cheap enough, right?
Yeah.
Like, the drives aren't very expensive these days.
Yeah, they're probably like, I don't know, cost. It's probably like, I don't know, $20 maybe, I'm guessing.
Okay, it's a little more pricey than I would have expected.
Yeah, because we're talking about new drives, not like used or refurbished. Yeah, you can actually often find like new unquote drives on like eBay for $20, but those are actually refurbished drives inside and they don't work. So if you're looking at actual good quality retail DVD drives, you're probably going to pay, $40 or something like that, or maybe even more.
So they say here that Netflix uses information like IP addresses, device IDs, and account activity to determine whether a device and your account is connected at your primary location. And then, of course, so this is going to be a big management hassle for the users of the Netflix online service. But apparently they will also be restricting the number of devices that you can sign in. So while at the same time they're making it sound like, oh, yeah, if you're in the same household, it's no problem. If you have their basic account, which apparently is like $7 a month, then you only get one device. So you have to pay them more if you want to have more devices in, you know, in your house. And so you may end up paying, you know, $20 a month. And then you add to that the fact that a lot of these people who are doing the online streaming services, they're subscribing to them. Like Aria, one of our co-hosts, she had multiple of these. She probably had over $100 a month that she was spending just so she could get, oh, well, you know, this one show I like is over here and this other show I like is over there. And, you know, before you know it, you're spending as much as you were. Because the old sales pitch on these things was, hey, it's only $7 a month. That's way cheaper than cable.
I want to introduce the Free Talk Live listener base to this thing called AdBlock Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys know the other one that blocks ads?
AdBlock not Plus? Because I know there was one that didn't have a plus.
There's another one. I can't think of it at the moment. But basically, between the two plugins, mm-hmm. you can get all this content without a headache.
Well, I mean, that's not going to stop when it comes to IP restrictions and things like that. It's not going to save you.
Well, you don't really need Netflix, is what I'm getting at.
You're talking about torrents.
No.
No.
I'm talking about streaming websites.
Wait, what?
There's other streaming websites besides Netflix.
Okay. Are you referring to, like, the places that are not licensing content?
I don't know what they're licensing or not licensing, okay? That's up for our listenership to look into and investigate and decide for themselves whether or not they want to, you know, access websites.
Are these on-demand streams, meaning that you pick a movie and then it streams that movie to you? Or is it like live television streams?
No, that would be IPTV. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about IPTV, mm-hmm. although I think it would be more equivalent to Netflix, but I've never used.
You're being very vague here. Can you name names? Is there something that someone should look for? Maybe if they're doing an internet search to find what you're referring to?
Yeah, I guess I can. I can go there. So if you go to a Google or something like that, and you type in the name of a movie, and you type in dash and then .com space dash .net space dash.org, what happens is you basically don't get any of the Disney's of the world or Netflix's of the world, but you will get content from all the other available sources for that content.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so what you're saying is when you do this search, you're eliminating responses that would come from the big three website types, .com, .net, .org, and then you're going to get international sites that may have different rules, essentially, about what you can and can't watch.
Know, I don't know where the sites are located, but they usually have a lot of ads on them, and if you want to get rid of the ads,
then AdBlock Plus is really useful. The other ones.
Yeah.
Interesting, but yet you haven't actually done this, is what you're saying.
I go to the Pirate Bay.
Hey, I'm not saying what I do or don't do. I'm just, you know.
Well, because
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what sites are licensing what content. I'm just a consumer.
Well, now here's another question, right? Like, and you're not a lawyer. I'm not expecting legal advice here. But as I understand it, it's not illegal for a U.S., you know, human being to go onto a gambling website, for instance, and spend Bitcoin to, you know, to gamble, right? Like, they made it illegal to use your bank card to fund gambling websites.
It's the liability of the
bank
financial institutions and the websites themselves to comply with the laws.
Right, not the user. So that's my understanding of that. Similarly, I suspect
even if in the Napster days they were going after people not for downloading content but for uploading,
for sharing
content.
Okay, so that makes me wonder: is it illegal for someone in the United States to go onto some internet website that's not located in the United States, doesn't have the same rules? Let's say in Russia, for instance, where there's been talk that Russia, and I don't know if this has come to pass yet, but there has been talk that one of the ways that Russia is going to give a big FU to the sanctions is by creating a repository for all kinds of media that, I don't know if it'd be state-run or whatever, or they would just allow it to be legal, but the idea would be that if you wanted to watch the latest movie or download the latest music or whatever, you could just go to this Russian website and it would just all be there for one low subscription fee or free or however it would be done. Would that be illegal for someone in the United States to go and do?
I think they're going to argue absolutely as far as the copyright cartel are concerned. But, you know, the question is, what can they really do about it? And we've already... I think the industry has already admitted that they can't do anything the end user.
Yeah.
They can make a few they can make examples out of a few consumers, you know, a few people who watch something that they're not supposed to watch from unlicensed sources. But what are they really able to do? Not much. You know, it's funny. People often say, oh, go get a VPN to protect yourself. I would argue don't.
Really?
Because it's such a waste of an effort. Just in terms, and by the way, I sell VPN services. It's just such a wasted effort. There's no risk. The risk is basically zero. So why would you?
Okay, you mean as far as like legal risk, but every now and then,
I'm talking about your average user. I'm not talking about the guy who's like, you know, running, you know, some pirate website.
Okay, but
right?
let me give
or
you an
uploading
example.
Movies. Right.
But let me give you an example. I mean, nobody just recommended using torrents a moment ago. However, it is not uncommon. I've had it happen where a notice came from the internet service provider and said, hey, just so you know, someone on your network was caught downloading this movie, and they will be specific with what the, you know, movie or the thing was, the offending thing. You better get
your... generally a movie that you had seen or downloaded, or
it might not have even been something I was doing. It's just somebody on the network.
Right.
Well, the IP address of your internet connection, but it came to me because my name was on the account. The IP address of my internet connection could have been one of my tenants, was downloading something without using a VPN, and somebody on that torrent was the MPAA, or the Recording Industry Association, and they're just taking a log of every single IP address that comes on there. They send a DMCA notice to the internet service provider, and the internet service provider comes to you and says, hey, look, we're going to cut you off your internet access if you don't stop this downloading. And, of course, the average person, like grandma running her internet connection, doesn't know how to, you know, go and assess her network situation to figure out who's downloading what or who's got the Wi-Fi password and get into her router and figure all that stuff out. So, like, the reality of it is most people can't do anything when they receive these notices. But they would risk losing their internet connection over that.
I mean, traditionally, it's been – there's not been a lot of people who have lost their internet connection.
Really?
Over it.
Even with, even with continuing notices coming from the internet?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And that's actually one of the things.
Because I took it pretty seriously when that came in. I'm like, man, I don't want to lose my cable modem or whatever.
One of the things that the entertainment industry, the copyright cartels, have actually – argued in court is that, well, you never actually disconnect anybody, and even when you do, you allow them to reestablish a new internet connection right away.
Really?
So yeah, basically
I figured if they disconnected me, I'd get blackballed.
Nah,
or something like that.
Nah, probably not. This might be changing.
But isn't this a reason to use a VPN?
Well, so let's back up a moment. There's a difference between downloading and a torrent. A torrent, you're actually uploading. You're not just downloading.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So if you're just an average user who's not doing torrents and you're streaming stuff from the internet, there's zero chance you're gonna get a letter from your ISP. If on the other hand you're a more advanced user and you're downloading torrents and they contain copyrighted content.
So what you're saying
is
these centralized websites that you're referring to, without actually saying what they were, you were talking about how to find them.
I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them. It's not one site.
But these international sites that you're referring to, some of them are probably more popular than others.
For sure.
These are located somewhere else in some other legal jurisdiction. The odds that they're going to get taken down.
Some of them are probably in the United States, even.
Maybe. That seems like a really risky thing to do. But the odds that they're going to get taken down in these other jurisdictions, probably pretty small. So the odds that the information about who they're sending this data to is like going to get out almost near to zero.
They get taken down all the time. It's just when you have thousands and thousands of websites.
They don't have the resources to go after the users, certainly. I mean, there's thousands of websites. There must be hundreds of thousands of users or millions of them.
So the entertainment industry usually doesn't obtain the information as to what users are connecting to these servers.
That's what I'm
saying.
Yeah, they're not going to get that info.
What they'll be able to do, usually, to the extent that they can, is they'll be playing a game. I'm trying to think of the game, but... a whack-a-mole. Play a game of whack-a-mole is what's going on. So they're shutting down one website after another after another. And
that's all they have time for. They don't have time to go to the users.
They'll go and they'll certainly, like, you know, bring civil suits against individuals all over the world. But there's way more of us, if you know what I'm saying, than there are of copyright owners. So, you know, I mean, think about the percentage of people who own copyright. It's really a very, 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 very tiny number of companies for the most part.
If you want to comment here and maybe you've got some recommendations or things that you like as far as, because I like what you guys were saying earlier tonight about, you know, why would you want to give money voluntarily to the very people who are threatening freedom of speech, freedom of information, these copyright holders. I mean, these are not good people at all.
Nope.
So let's go to the phones here. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Bring up that the city collected 1,800 shopping carts, the metal ones. Yeah, so it's a real problem.
So you're talking about, like, by homeless people taking shopping carts out of the area in which they're normally supposed to be, out in front of a store, just to any old place, and the city's collecting those? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Not only that, even the customers, people that have homes, people like me that don't have a car, and so they would just go shopping and just bring the shopping cart home so they don't have to bring it, and then just leave them around the complex, and they just,
Sarah,
take these shopping carts everywhere like this.
Can you tell me, who is this a problem for exactly?
Well, I mean, it's a problem, I think, for the city. It's for the city because every time they have to come and get it.
It's a problem for the grocery stores and the customers at the grocery stores because those are expensive.
Yeah.
Shopping carts are expensive. And so if grocery stores lose their shopping carts, they have to buy more of them. And that means that they have to pass that cost on to the consumer, meaning the people that are actually buying the food at the grocery store have to pay more for every one of those shopping carts. They pay more at the register for their food for every shopping cart that gets taken off the premises by some, you know, homeless person or whoever.
But that's not what you're concerned about, right? You're just concerned about, you know, their shopping carts left everywhere. And they're inconvenient to you?
What's ugly?
Well, I was thinking, like, this is supposed to be a theft. It's actually you're stealing.
It is a theft. That's true.
Somebody's
absolutely.
Property. It's like a theft.
Big time.
But they act like they're entitled to steal these shopping carts to use for whatever they want. So I mean, it just kind of behooves me, and it's gotten so out of control. So the city wants to have some kind of solution. And how about this? Santa Fe, they were going to charge the stores, each store, Albertsons or Smith, for each $100 for each shopping cart that the city have to go get.
Really? Insane. That's like holding them ransom. Thanks for the call tonight, Sarah. Thanks for sharing that story here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And who knows what kind of condition they're bringing them back in.
Yeah.
You know? I guess the idea is $100 is still probably cheaper than paying whatever, how many hundreds it costs to get a new shopping cart. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. The flooding emergency is far from over for some residents in South Florida, including many in the community of Dania Beach. City Manager Anna Garcia says this week's historic rains have hit the city hard.
It may be 3 days, it may be 5 days. It all depends how quickly we can get more resources in here. The back trucks are going to pump the water, then we have to dispose of the water.
Nearby cities, including Miami Beach, already sending in vac trucks and pumps to help out following the floods. Flights are also once again arriving and departing Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. El Nino is gearing up ahead of schedule. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says there's a 62% chance El Nino will take over between May and July, and an 80 to 90% chance it'll arrive by fall. El Nino means a cold, wet winter for the southern U.S. California could see lots of rain and colder temps, too. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live, and we got time for you. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I do want to say thank you to Free Talk Live listeners like Igutsky, who is a silver supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live. If you support our mission to spread the ideas of liberty and peace and crypto and freedom, please go to amps.freetalklive.com. Get signed up over there. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can use your debit card, your credit card, your PayPal account to get signed up and help us do what we do here 7 nights a week on broadcast radio, online via podcast, streaming, and more. Once again, that's amps.freetalklive.com. Those three of us here on the show, we do love ourselves some cryptocurrency. I, unfortunately, am prohibited from using it during my bail conditions here due to the Crypto 6 case. And I do want to remind listeners, if you are going to be in the New Hampshire area on April 25th, our very own Aria DiMezzo is facing sentencing on that date. And from what I understand, my attorney says that having as many people at the sentencing as possible is a good idea. So if you can come out, please do join us at 10 a.m. at Federal Court in Concord on April 25th. I believe it's a Tuesday. and support Aria. If you have one of the Crypto Six shirts, probably wouldn't hurt to wear it. If not, just, you know, be on our side of the courtroom, or if we could fill the whole courtroom, that would be wonderful. But they'll put evil people in there too, of course. You know, the feds will be taking up some seats. So the more good people we can get in there, the better. And we can support Aria. Again, April 25th, 10 a.m., Federal District Court in Concord, New Hampshire. So in the crypto world, there was a headline that came out. Like, one of the things we've been talking a lot about recently in the crypto news has been the SEC and the CFTC have been suing different crypto exchanges and things like that. In fact, the SEC just, I think today there was a headline that the SEC is considering, or they're proposing, I think they have to like put some sort of process in motion, but they're proposing to consider decentralized finance as exchanges. So they want DeFi to be under the same set of rules, which no one really knows what those rules are, for cryptocurrency exchanges. So that's their next move, is to target decentralized finance.
I really want to know, like, what their thoughts are. How do they intend to enforce that, right? Because you can say whatever you want in a law, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's any practical way to enforce it. And if they try to, like, pass a law and people see it's unenforceable, I mean, it's actually just going to have the opposite effect.
Well, that's
just
going
to lead to more people, you know, ignoring the law.
I think what you're going to see is we're going to find out who's really decentralized and who isn't.
Yeah, probably.
And the government's going to put them to the test by bringing lawsuits against as many of them as they possibly can. And what they're going to do is they're going to likely try to identify the people who are involved.
Developers, maybe.
Not right. Developers. Not all of them are hiding behind anonymity. They should be.
A good plan.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, the other option is fighting it, right? Like, there's also, you know, it's interesting.
That always goes well.
It hasn't gone well so far.
Well, hold on. So I think there is an argument to be made in taking up a case and not being anonymous. I absolutely advocate for anonymity and privacy and everything like that. But there are times when you should and should not be, you know, anonymous or private. If you're trying to fight a public issue, you're not going to get publicity if you are anonymous, and it's not going to help your cause. But on the other hand, there are other times where you don't want to be identified, right?
Well, right. So, I mean, if you wanted to get into creation of software, and that's what you love to do, you don't want to spend time in court.
Right.
Right? You want to spend time programming.
Probably.
You want to spend time upgrading and making
your
software
better.
Unless
your objective is to fight the free speech aspect of that.
Okay, but I don't know how many decentralized...
The thing is, though, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. You're going to lose because the bankers own the government.
It seems like you're going to lose. So far, Library lost, and they're going to lose hard. They're going to lose their entire business.
It's a
possibility. Don't know what's going to happen with Ripple yet.
But
that one's still in play.
If it's purely software, that's a free speech argument, as opposed to
something
that is centralized where, yeah, I mean... Look, this is the encryption.
They don't care.
This is the encryption. This is the 1990s encryption battle all over again, guys.
Yeah.
And you know, we won that. We won that.
Did we?
We did. You know, encryption isn't restricted anymore. You know, for the most part, except for North Korea, Iran. Who else? There's a few countries where it's restricted, but you know, for the most part,
you know. The funny thing about that, though, is we're still using the same PGP key sizes that we were using 20 years ago. I wonder if it still matters.
You get to set that when you create a key.
You can, but the options haven't changed. Can only go up to like 4K.
Okay, so you're saying it's not... Okay, so it hasn't increased as far as the options are concerned. Okay.
Yeah, computing power has increased a lot.
I don't know that, yeah. It's a topic I don't want to get into. This is a little too technical.
Well, here's what happened, and this is today.
This
is news from Reuters that the Securities and Exchange Commission is now opening a public comment on their proposal to expand the definition
of... I got a public comment for them.
Well, yeah, and you can say whatever you want to these people, and it won't matter, because they just have to allow the public comment. It's just part of the process. They know what they're going to do.
In actuality, they will tell you that what they basically say is we ignore these comment process. Is actually, they will explicitly tell you not to send comments in, because that's what they do. They ignore the ones... that are not, like, relevant or something to that effect, and they don't consider anything that's in protest to be relevant. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So
you need to be a stakeholder or whatever.
That's the kind of, yeah, that kind of...
Which is hard when they keep stealing everything you have.
They voted 3-2 to take more comments from the public on their proposal to expand the definition of exchange, clarifying, supposedly, its existing rules on exchanges will now also apply to decentralized cryptocurrency platforms. And, of course, we've talked about decentralized finance here on Free Talk Live, but for listeners that don't know, it's the idea of decentralized finance is to create products and services in a decentralized manner. So issuing a loan is a typical DeFi thing that people do, but they're usually backed by collateral. In fact, I think they're always backed by collateral. So you give a decentralized finance contract your cryptocurrency X, let's say Bitcoin, BTC, and then they give you a different thing in return at a certain rate. You have to pay a fee, of course, for this service. They might give you a stable coin like USDT, a dollar-backed stable coin, in return for that. But you may have to give them 2 to 4 or 5 times as much Bitcoin as what you get out of the other end of the contract. And again, there's also the fee that you got to pay, and I don't know how often it's monthly or whatever it is, to do that.
And now, is that a situation where if the price of your your crypto changes dramatically, can you get shot caught in a short squeeze?
They'll liquidate the contract.
Yeah, that's called a short squeeze. It's a bad thing when it happens.
Sure. So, but these are some of the risks in these decentralized finance things. Another decentralized finance example would be the decentralized exchange, where you can take your Ethereum token, Shiba Inu, and exchange that for some other Ethereum token or whatever. And then they're also seeing the advent of actual true decentralized exchanges, where you can take the what they call layer one coins, like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and Ethereum, and you can actually exchange them for one another without having to do it through a centralized entity like a Coinbase or a Binance or a Kraken, these centralized finance websites. So we're seeing a move in that direction, and the SEC is well aware of it. And they know it's easy to go after the centralized finance companies because they have a board of directors. They have a meeting location. They have a physical office where they can target and raid those people.
They have houses to drive tanks into.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But decentralized finance, they don't have those things, or at least they shouldn't have those things. And so that's the next move in this. The Treasury Department recently released a report where they said that decentralized finance was a threat to national security.
Yeah, that is just absolutely hilarious.
You know what's a real threat to national security? The government. Because as long as they are secure, we won't be.
The funny thing about it being a threat to national security is that the crypto universe is so small by comparison to, say, the dollar universe. It's insignificant when it comes to criminal money laundering, sure, and things of that nature. It's just being used as an excuse to fear you, scare the public.
But they're making bank doing all that money laundering. They want that market for themselves.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. These banks will pay fines and they will, you know, launder the money for the criminals, and yet they just get these little fines later. It's like and then of course, what do they do with the people who are selling crypto? They go after them and they throw them in a cage. It's like there was no bankers that got thrown in a cage for money laundering.
Nope.
The companies just got fined. The banks just got fined.
Meanwhile, my probation officer wants to. Is telling me that the judge is talking about having a hearing because I haven't given them any money because I don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of.
Really?
What money? Where do they think you're going to get the money from?
Well, they've made sure that I can't work. and they watch me like a hawk.
I thought they took a bunch of coins from you and that wasn't enough.
Well, they actually never got around to taking it. I've been waiting for them too. So supposedly I owe them $12,000 of which I have $8,000. Sooner or later they're probably gonna throw me in prison over this. But hey, if you're a millionaire, you can You can go and rob the world with your bank.
Well, the other story here, I hope that doesn't work out in the way you think it's going to, nobody, but keep us in the loop as that develops.
I'll have to make some free nobody stickers.
Yeah. Free nobody with purchase of one Ian Freeman.
I suspect the feds don't do like New Hampshire does, where you can sit off a fine in jail. I don't think they don't do that, do they? Like in New Hampshire, if you get a fine out of a court, you know, they say you got to pay $500. You can say, well, I am not going to pay. And then they put you in a prison cell or a jail cell for $150 a day credit off of the fine. I don't think that exists everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah. So that'll be a situation where they just punitively put you in prison and then let you out and
basically
say...
basically debtor's prison.
And then let you out and say, well, you still owe us $12,000.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm wrong about
that... And I still won't have it.
Yeah, I'd love to be wrong.
And I'll still be unemployable.
I am really curious about this situation, actually.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Because this happens all the time when it comes to federal... But I don't actually know what happens.
Yeah, if you know, if you want to clear it up, feel free to give us a call at 603-283-6160, and you can share that. So, the news that I wanted to share is different from the constant SEC attacks, is about something that was in the news in the last 2-3 years maybe, of these ideas of the city coins. Do you remember when they came out, there was the Miami coin?
I remember that.
And there was the New York City coin, NYC coin, that came out.
And that's actually a thing that's been done in the past. Some places during the Great Depression, one of the ways that they created liquidity so that they could continue to trade was by offering local coins. And I think community coins, not necessarily geographical communities, but communities of people, I think that kind of coin is, well, I mean, if they don't throw us all in prison,
I don't think this is what
will be.
I don't think this is the same thing. I think what they're talking about is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, it was an interesting proposal, at least, the idea of these city coins, because while it was evil in that the government was involved, like the mayor of Miami.
Isn't the government going to benefit from it?
Yes.
And what is government? Government's violence.
It is violence.
How do they use it most of the time? Against peaceful people.
Yes, but the proposal, let me just defend at least part of the idea.
Yes, let's see Ian, of all people, defend this.
In theory, look, I didn't buy any of this stuff. Okay?
In theory, there's no difference between theory and practice, but in practice, there generally is.
If you wanted to make it so, I mean, there's been a lot of people like our own Mark Edge who talks about how, well, government doesn't have to be violent.
Sure.
If you wanted to get to that.
Well, nobody would pay for their garbage if they weren't threatening to kill them.
Which is, of course, provably false, because garbage is all voluntary here in Keene, New Hampshire. It's all privately run. So you do.
When I say they're garbage, I mean their wars,
the poverty they create,
throwing people in prison for selling things to people that those people want.
But in theory, if you wanted to get from here, which is a totally coercive government system, to there, which is some sort of, quote, government that doesn't coerce.
But that's not what it was about. But
no,
yes, okay.
But it could have been used for that purpose. And the reason say that is because to purchase the city coin is a voluntary act. You did not have to buy the city coin. Knowing that it's funding the government is a good reason not to buy the city coin.
Yep.
But if the city were to say, for every $1 million that we get in revenue from the city coin,
that's not happening.
We will. I understand this, but if they were to say that for every $1 million we get in from the city coin, or hundreds of thousands, or whatever, we'll reduce the taxpayer burden by that amount, then that could be a way to end the coercive system and replace it with a completely voluntarily funded.
But that wouldn't let them steal more from us.
Well, indeed.
How are they going to buy their yachts? How are they going to get their private planes so they can fly to Davos and tell us about how we shouldn't have cars?
Yeah, and they weren't proposing to do that, but that could be something someone did, right? Like if in New Hampshire, if at some point enough libertarians move here as part of the Free State Project, and somebody wants to try something like this, could be done.
You know, I think this would be a good, this might be a, how do I say this, a solution that could work
for, say, funding private schools or, you know, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. I could absolutely see
to have a coin for the school.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or something along those lines, or just, you know, even just, you know, non-profit type, you know, organizations that do good work. You know, you could have a charity that's based around this and people will use it, and then that charity could dole out cash to schools and, you know, other sorts of non-government, you know, institutions that do, you know, good work for the community.
Or imagine a very simple way to operate a mutual aid society.
Right.
Would be to have a coin that was designed to, you know, some percentage of sales or whatever went directly to the people that use the coin. So maybe for years you're doing great and that costs some money, but, you know, maybe the FBI drives a tank into your house and you find yourself completely screwed and you actually have something coming in from this program that was a cost at one time but becomes a benefit. And, you know, if you aren't spending a bunch of money murdering millions of people all over the world, then it's got to be a lot more efficient than a government.
So the good news is, guys, the city coins have failed miserably. According to Coindesk.com, crypto exchange OKCoin has suspended the trading of the two city coins, Miami Coin and NYC Coin, as of March 16th, and cited limited liquidity as the reason for the decision. They said that...
Wow. I mean, why didn't they do a ninth level of hell coin while they were doing NYC in Miami?
by the way, I just pulled up the Miami coin details here on CoinGecko, and it looks like the last 24 hours saw a whole whopping $3,263 in trading volume. So these coins are basically completely dead. I mean, not quite, but pretty much completely dead. And there's now only one exchange on the planet that is listing the Miami coin. So it's pretty much unavailable and,
you know,
done for.
I think the only way I could envision...
San Francisco coin would be a beautiful thing.
I think the only way I could envision something like this working is if you actually had enough like-minded people in one, you know, area that it could actually work. And
well, it doesn't have to be one area, but obviously it would be attractive to those people.
Right.
But somebody who lives outside of the area could also get it.
I just can't, outside of, like, basically New Hampshire, and even in New Hampshire, I don't think we have enough people to really make something like that work. So it's hard to
make it work in Miami and New York City, right? Like, what are the odds it's gonna work anywhere, at least at this point in the game?
I mean, If people are willing, I mean, basically it is a way to keep some liquidity in your community. If somebody did a porcupine coin, then it's definitely there might be some use to such a thing.
Perhaps, but it's tough competition out there. There are literally thousands of coins. According to CoinGecko, there are over 10,800 coins right now, and they don't list them all. Mm. So if you go to their competitor, CoinMarketCap, lists 23,387 coins out there. That's a ton of competition. It is hard as hell to compete and bring something new to the table. You know, maybe this will work someday, but obviously it was too early for an idea like this to really take.
There's a lot of great ideas that are just ahead of their time.
Well, also, it was done by some of the worst people in the world.
True.
Yeah, you know, this is like one of these things where it's like, I think some of the best places that, like, if you wanted to try this, it's probably not going to be in a large city. It's probably going to be more doable, I think, with a smaller population, especially early on.
Because they'd be more into it, you mean?
Well, no, because
don't you think San Francisco could do something? Instead of a dog, they could have a little pile of human excrement as their mascot.
You could focus your resources on a community, a smaller community, that you wouldn't be able to focus on a city, right, which has millions of people in it. And thus, you would have more people.
you think of it this way, there's fewer businesses, right, in Keene, just as an example.
Yeah.
And it's easier to get a larger percentage of them on board with doing something than it is to get a whole city, you know, with millions of people on board with doing the same thing.
Well, yeah, obviously you don't need everybody
make
the thing work.
But you still need enough of the people, you know, and it's easier to talk one-on-one with businesses at a smaller level than it is to try and do it at a, you know, a bigger level, I guess.
There is already poop-related coins, though, yeah. So San Francisco would still be late to the game, even if they decided to go that direction.
Yeah, but, you know, in terms of tonnage, they've got more to back it with.
Yeah, if you could monetize that somehow. San Francisco needs all the help they can get right now. We were talking last night about the market.
Well, with the shortage of fertilizer, maybe there is a way to...
Aye.
Let's go to the phones here. David,
I'm expecting that one day most coins will actually represent physical objects. I think it's
stable
only
coins.
Stable coins, but not with dollars, mm-hmm. but
like
with
gold. Ounces of gold.
Gold and mm-hmm. pork bellies and whatever, and directly yeah. redeemable.
Let's go to David. He's in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, keying on nobody's comment about the government, it's my allegation and others that the government that we have is not a government because it's fraudulent, and in many things cause it to be fraudulent, but if you want to talk in concrete things, for instance, it's my understanding that the majority, if not all, of the current presidential administration cabinet members have defective or absent oaths of office, which under law makes everything they have done fraudulent, illegitimate, not binding, null and void. And you're at the end of your program, there's a dude, an attorney, who has active lawsuits that have been attempted to be dismissed and the courts have refused to dismiss them. This guy's name is Todd Callender, C-A-L-L, E-N-D-E-R, and his website is Doctor, because he was advocating for doctors during the COVID period, Doctor, DrAdvocates.com, DrAdvocates.com. It might be worth your while.
And what does he do?
He's an attorney, and he acts on behalf of us. How he makes his money, he probably has private clients as well, but he essentially sues the government when he sees them doing something illegal. That
now,
is
good for people like that. I mean, every now and then they do have a success, but, man, it is hard to sue the government for things. They're just the system is designed to protect them.
Immunity they do have.
Thanks, David. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think.
Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.